Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called How to See the World Through Sacred Eyes, Discovering the Heart of Shamanic Perception. My name is Stephen Dynan. I'm the founder and president of the Shift Network, and I am delighted to be here with you, learning from two of our beloved elders on the shamanic path who are really going to help us illuminate how do we open to a deeper kind of vision and a deeper kind of openness to reality that allows us to see through to the deeper level with a sense of reverence and blessing in how we do our days. Their names are Sandra Ingerman, who has taught many, many programs for Shift and is one of the most respected shamanic teachers of our day, and Evelyn Reisdyke, who is also working with Sandra on really bringing forward some of the deep indigenous teachings into a modern context so that we can live in a new way with more openness, more joy, and more purpose, more connected to higher sources of guidance, more connected to plants and animals, and really in a way that has a deep kind of wholeness to it. So we're really blessed to have these two here today teaching together on Shift for the first time. So welcome, Sandra, and welcome, Evelyn.
Thank you, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Great. Well, I know we talked about, Evelyn, having you lead us off with a prayer invocation blessing, since we want to make this a sacred time together, that we're really not just listening, but we're joining together as a community across these wires so that we can open to our higher self and learn in the deepest possible level. So, Evelyn, why don't you bless us in?
I will do so. So I want to ask everybody to just take a minute and take a breath. Close your eyes and give thanks for the exploding Novi that made all the elements that fill your body. So we're children of the cosmos, and those same elements formed from light have formed our planet, have formed each one of us, all the creatures that inhabit this marvelous world. And that we live here in a blessed place where the dance of the elements sustain life. And breathe all of that in deeply, that you are held by the earth with all of earth's other creatures, that our earth is held in the cosmos, embraced by that tapestry of stars that we see above our heads, but also cradles us from beneath our world and all around. And that wider cosmos that is born of that undulating fabric of light cradles everything. And so each one of us, like Ukrainian nesting dolls, are held in an embrace. Always, we are never separated from that source. So breathe that in with great gratitude, recognizing your own sacredness and the sacredness of everything around you. And welcome. Welcome to this moment with the two of us.
Well, thank you for that sacred blessing to bring us all together and start to open our hearts and souls to the deeper teachings and presence that we're going to be sharing. Well, I want to let everyone know right up front, we're going to have this hour together, and we'll also have a chance to go much deeper with Sandra and with Evelyn, and we'll share more about that towards the end of the hour. But today, why don't you begin with setting a little context about shamanic perception and how it's reconnects us with perhaps a way of being that we've often lost touch with.
Shamanism is a practice that really holds the medicine for our times. And it's always been predicted to be what people in the modern world turn to as far as being able to heal on an emotional, physical, and also on a planetary basis. But what's so important to understand, because there's some misunderstandings about the power and the magic of shamanism, is shamanism is all about cultivating energy, cultivating enough spiritual energy where we birth through us whatever it is that we need to manifest for our health and bringing balance back to the planet. We birth through us healing for ourselves. And there's a misunderstanding in our culture that what all we have to do is turn to the helping spirits and that they'll do this work for us. And on some levels, they help us by creating a roadmap for us and guiding us how we can go so deeply into a path that's been around for 100,000 years and has shown the miraculous results of healing that are possible. And so back in 1993, I started to write about the difference between healing and curing. And the basis of that was around how in shamanic cultures, children learned certain life skills that were so basic to build a foundation to fully step into the sacred realm of the shaman. And Evelyn and I have been talking about, I talk about how we're going against the flow by jumping into shamanic methods first before getting these life skills. And Evelyn talks about it as we're going, working backwards. And I want to talk about another aspect of that that I think is so important is that what shamans really do, and this is part of the mystery of shamanism that is not being transmitted today, is that shamans actually go in so deep into their inner world and they cultivate all this spiritual energy in their inner world. That's where the power comes from, is what can come through our inner world. And in that place, they lift out of their humanness and are now in touch with their true spiritual identity, which is pure radiant light, pure spiritual light. And they were able to get in touch with this identity through the intense initiations that they were put through after learning a certain set of life skills. And so the shaman gets into this divine state, non-human state. They do this through different rites and ceremonies, and their costumes and masks help them step away from their personality and ego. And once they're in that state, they have perfect, aligned, harmonious communion with the intermediary spirits, which are divine too, because they're formless. And it's through that connection, that partnership of the divine nature of the shaman working with the divine nature of the spirits that the magic happens, that so much heartfelt energy and such deep prayers are created into being through being able to cultivate that kind of spiritual energy to make it so. And so what's happening in our culture today is we're working a little bit upside down, not just walking backwards, but upside down, in that first we start to learn how to tap into our radiant light, our luminescent self, that divine part of us. We are spirit. We're body, mind, and spirit. Our spirit is that perfect place of ourselves, can never be hurt, has all the information we will ever need to be informed by. But there's layers that as humans we have to walk through to get to that divine place. And that's where I think we need soul doctoring right now. We need medicine for the soul, because the soul, that part of us, is born with a karma. It's born with a destiny. We experience wounds. We evolve. We grow into beings that can now work through those dark states that live inside of us. We would call this the alchemy of the soul, because alchemy is about working through the dark, shadowy states inside of us so that we can be in touch with the seed of light that lives inside of us, what we call the divine. And so as we heal the past karmic issues that we came into this world with, as we look at our wounds that need to be healed, and as we repair those old stories, we transform the nature of our soul so that we're moving from a place of responsibility and maturity and a depth of wisdom that allows us to actually enter into that divine state that brings us into the role of the shaman, where then our heartfelt prayers have that energy. We've cultivated the energy so that we can birth through us, being in partnership with the divine spirits, we can birth through us the unlimited possibilities of what we all know we can do as human beings on this planet today. But first, we have to heal the soul. And so much of the work of learning about our inner world and the depth of where we need to come to be able to produce those miraculous healings that shamans have been doing for tens and thousands of years, that's the work that we still need to do at this particular point. And we can do them in tandem with each other, but we have to attend to our projections and those darker states of consciousness that then are transformed into states of light where we can stand in our full shamanic power and move forward.
Oh, well, you covered a lot of territory there, Sandra. Evelyn, go over to you. One of the things that Sandra mentioned was that this sense of sometimes we're doing things backwards versus a more traditional shamanic path. And I'd love to explore that a little bit more and how we can, in a way, set different kind of foundation for our shamanic exploration.
Well, you know, in our culture, we're absolutely trained to be external and to reclaim a different way, the way of our ancestors, means we have to be like salmon swimming upstream in a way. We're swimming against the tide of how we've been acculturated, of our education, to bring ourselves back into ourselves and to, in some ways, rebuild the foundation that is not given to us in our culture. So I think of a child who cobbles together the best adult they can, which most kids do, and they do it often too early. And you make an adult when you're 4 to 7 years old. You sort of create this template. But when you get to be an adult, you recognize that you missed a few bits, and you have an opportunity to fill those in. I think this is actually a deeper kind of foundation filling in, because we have to learn how to, first of all, antidote our marvelous senses, because our senses, which are in external tools, teach us about separation. They teach us about limitation. Even though I would never want to lose any one of my senses, to recognize how limited they are. We can only see the small spectrum of visible light, the smallest section of audible sound. And when I look at someone in front of me, I see the distance between us. So when we bring ourselves back into that foundation place that Sandra was just talking about, we are looking at from a different perspective. As I often teach with my eyes closed, because it instantly brings me into that place where now there is no separation between us. There's, even though we are electronically connected and there is a literal space between us, it becomes invisible, because I'm bringing myself down into that place where there is an infinite space that embraces everyone and everything. And so we have to learn that piece of, well, you don't throw away all the glory of your physicality. In fact, you have to savor that. You have to bring a depth to it, like a grounding down deep inside that allows the tree of yourself to grow and expand. If we want to have marvelous branches that reach into the world of spirit, and we need to have those deep roots that sustain that growth, that sustain us. And from, in the same way that a tree operates, bringing up what it needs to then make leaves happen in the spring. You know, it does that naturally, and we can do that naturally too, once we learn how to kind of flip that switch and go and sort out the things that interfere with us making connection inside and connection with the world around us.
Hmm. Thank you. Well, Sandra, let's turn it back to you. So it seems that the seeing things with a spirit of interconnectedness, seeing through to the depth and being able to evoke the sense of like our real union with everyone and everything is really part of the path of seeing with shamanic eyes or seeing with sacred eyes. And I'd love for you to share a little bit more about how does that get cultivated over time? How do we build our capacity to not just see with the eyes of separation, but with the eyes of unity or interconnectedness?
I think to ride on one of the thoughts that Evelyn brought up, it has to do with our connection with nature, because we have closed down our senses and we allow life to tell us what to see through the images that we're flooded with all the time, through our devices where we're told what to hear. And so a real missing piece for people is, how do they tap into not the tangible senses? This again is what's confusing as people start to walk on a shamanic path, because when they go into journeys, they can't understand why they're not seeing images like they see on TV or on the media. But it's a different kind of sensory input that allows us to connect with the spirit world. It's our inner, unseen, what we call clear senses, clairvoyance, clear audience, clear sentience, what we see here with our invisible ears and feel with the cells and the bones of our body. And nature teaches us how to connect more our senses to how we can actually open up to communicate with other species, and how we can open up and communicate with each other, but on deeper levels of communication versus just speaking small talk. There's ways that we communicate energetically that is so important to understand. And children in shamanic cultures were taught about this. They were taught how they related, how they had a healthy relationship with nature, how to establish and keep a healthy relationship with nature, how to see with their bodies, and how to hear the trees sing. This was all taught at such an early age. And how the words that we use that make up our thoughts and our daydreams, the energy that we put into those are the energies that we're cultivating, that we're bringing into our sacred dreaming shamanic work. And so what energies are we flooding ourselves with? And what energies are we flooding the web of life with? And if you think of the earth as one organism, what energies are being absorbed by the earth that are coming from our words, our thoughts, our dreaming? And what's the soul doctoring that we need to do to be able to reframe what we're putting out into the world, what we're sending out into the world, so that, again, we're a more responsible community member because we're part of this earth community. And so how are we more responsible with our talk, even our self-talk that we do to ourselves? That affects the whole entire web of life too, because that's the energy that we're putting out into the world. It's affecting our own health also. And so how to establish a really healthy relationship with nature and how to really focus on how to be a responsible community member by really adding the beauty of our thoughts and words and our daydreams to the collective field of energy in our Earth community is so vital. And this was taught to every single child. And if I could share a story about this, just to kind of give an example, when I teach at a retreat center, I start to journey and speak to the helping spirits of the land that the retreat center is on, the helping ancestors of the land that the retreat center is on, the very day that I book the dates. And so that could mean me journeying and speaking to the spirits of the land and the helping ancestors every day for a year before I bring my groups. And so what happens is the land and the helping spirits become our partners in the workshop. I mean, they've been called in. I told them that we have a heart-centered group coming, really want to learn how to be in service to the planet, want to heal, want to bring through the old beautiful ways of healing again. And magic happens when you do that. And so just one instance, just to show what happens when you build that kind of relationship with the unseen. We were going to do a fire ceremony, and the drought conditions were unbelievable. And as a person who was once a firefighter, there was no way we were going to have that fire ceremony. But we had an indoor place where we could do the fire ceremony. But still, the chimney was too close to the branches of the trees, and one spark could take down the entire city of Santa Fe and affect all of New Mexico. And I was just too responsible for that. And the group, of course, understood, but they were so disappointed. And so the morning before the fire ceremony was going to happen, and I was planning on canceling it, I asked the spirits of the land to give me a sign at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, let it rain for exactly 30 seconds. And at three, if it was okay to do this fire ceremony, I was asking for a sign. And exactly at 3 o'clock, it rained for 30 seconds. Years later, a climatologist was fascinated by my story. And actually, we found the date of the fire ceremony. And he went through the records, and there was a stray cloud over Sunrise Springs at that particular point. And the point that I'm trying to make of this story is these kinds of miraculous things, like me doing a fire ceremony with a group in the middle of Hurricane Opal, and the hurricane stopping just for the time of our fire ceremony and coming back again. These kinds of things don't just happen when you walk up and say, okay, I'm going to do a ceremony for releasing, here I go. But when you build that kind of relationship with the unseen realm, you have the magic of these spirits working in partnership with you to really help bring the perfect conditions for all the work to happen. And so it's just an example of the types of relationships with nature that children learned how to establish at a very young age. But this is something we still have to do at this time.
Well, that's a truly miraculous story. I'd blow away by the 30 seconds of rain on request. And so, Evelyn, let's go back to you. And one of the things we described about today is how we can use this kind of shamanic practices to open and seeing beyond suffering, opening the veils between dimensions so that we aren't caught up necessarily in the surface appearance of things, that we see that there is this kind of deeper quality that's unfolding into reality. I'd love for you to share a bit about that.
I'd love to. As somebody who's lived with pain most of my life, I have physical pain. I learned many years ago, that if I kept my world as large as possible, the pain didn't change size, but it took up less space in my life. So the idea that we can expand our internal place, expand our perception of what life is life only like being trapped in, people may not remember what a phone booth is, but I do. I used to think of my pain as a beach ball, and I'm stuck in a phone booth with it, and you know, you can't see around the ball. But when you're in a space as big as a gymnasium, the pain's still there, but it maybe rolls underneath the bleachers. And the fact that we have that capacity to expand at will, to get more deeply in touch with the fact that the upper worlds and middle worlds and lower worlds live inside of us. And through the sphere of most influence that we have is right here inside of ourselves. That's where we have the most impact. And by working within that laboratory of the self, you have the capacity to transform your personal experience and deepen your capacity to be in relationship with everything else around you. They go hand in hand. The fact that you are not limiting yourself any longer makes relationship easier, makes connection easier. You're able to perceive the other beings that you are around in a very different space, because you recognize on some level they may be stuck in their small self. You know, we get edgy sometimes with people. But when you recognize that some people get stuck in their small self and they need to be able to expand in order to recognize that there's beauty around us no matter what is happening in the earth plane. And that's a really powerful lesson. Not just in an intellectual way, but that you can feel this kind of loving, light, expansive experience of life no matter what trouble is happening in the moment. And to hold on to that perspective while attending to the details that need to happen. So to be in both big self and attending to detail is possible when you have broadened that capacity to hold that larger space of yourself, that space that's wide enough where there are no edges. You are connected to everything at that very extension of your being. You are overlapping everything. It feeds you, and you in turn with your own heart and your own focus on beauty and light and all the gifts that we receive, even when we think we're in the worst place in the world, that we honor those gifts, and they then go out to all those beings. So we learn how to work with whatever is, and then to transform whatever is into something else. It requires acceptance on some level of where we are without judgment, and then to work those threads of what needs to be removed, what needs to be healed, changing our perception of ourself, changing our perceptions about the world around us. All of those things, so we can get into the place where we can sit deep and embrace the experience that we're in right this moment. And in that, being able to feel surrounded by so much support, so that the animals are there with you and the plants are there with you, and they're giving you feedback all the time. learning how to be in nature, not as an upright human being that walks in a straight line with headset on, but to be as an indigenous person walking a few steps like the animals do, work a few steps and stop. Walk a few more steps and stop and let your ears become like the deer's ears and your eyes like the birds that look. They turn their heads to look up to see if a hawk is up above them. Mm. Learning to do that changes the old perception of who you are. It changes just about everything you can imagine. And it really does start in working the threads that you have right here, again, in the sphere of influence that you have the most power to work.
Hmm. Beautifully said. I love the way you really bring alive also learning from animals and how they're perceiving too. And one of the things we described on to the description for today was about using nature's elements as allies. And so that's part of what the shamanic perception really opens up, is being able to access these different kinds of intelligences and access a different kind of wisdom that comes from being able to see the world through a whole different set of lenses. So Sandra, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about how can we deepen that ability to use nature's elements as allies for guidance and more information for healing.
Well, earth, air, and water and fire are helping spirits. And these elements give us life. And we are also water, earth, air, and fire. We are these elements. They are us. And they are beings that are intelligent. And one of the things that's happening right now, because of all the environmental catastrophes going on, is people are starting to fear the elements, and especially children. And this is something I teach a lot about, because we really have to get children to once again embrace the elements as our friends and teachers, and that they give us omens and they teach us all the times. And so the elements are really wonderful. So shamans might take a prayer and blow it into a stone and bury it into the earth, and the earth takes our what we're asking to be manifested and works again with our own divinity to make it so. The wind was here before any life was here, before water was here, the wind was here. The wind is such an ancient being, and so many of us, including myself, work with the wind as allies. And I was actually told by the wind not to get on an airplane around the time of 9/11. I didn't know what was happening. Again, it was just a miraculous experience of the wind trying to protect me, because I've been working with it as a partner so strongly. And so to shamans, these elements are sentient beings. And when we start to communicate and treat them with respect and do our gratitude practices, not from a rote point of view, but truly from our heart. So once again, we're cultivating the right energy for that practice of reciprocity, because in shamanism, whatever you put out comes back to you in return. And as we start to honor the elements in the respect that they deserve more than respect. You know, we should be honoring them every moment for what they bring to us and for who we are. All of a sudden, our relationship with the environment changes. We start to notice more balance comes in. The huge environmental changes stop happening, except the ones that are truly around the evolution of the planet and the planet's destiny. So we have an incredible opportunity right now to create change by bringing in really simple practices of giving gratitude to the elements for the life that they bring to us, honoring them for their sentient being that they are, for being allies for us, for taking our pain during ceremonies, for bringing us our desired outcomes. Again, we start to work with them in partnership, and that's how harmony returns not just to the planet, but back to our own lives again.
So beautifully shared. And I know that elements often play a role in ceremony for that reason. It's like this restoration of respect and reciprocity. And Evelyn, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about that, how we can weave ritual and ceremony to create a different kind of relationship with, you know, with animals, with plants, with and elements.
I always like to use gratitude as my baseline when I move through the world, when I'm making an offering in the morning just for the fact that I woke up this morning, to be grateful for the day, to thank the birds coming to the feeder, to thank the animals that visit. And there is much more activity. The more that you offer gratitude to the natural world, the more the natural world reveals itself to you. No matter where you live in suburbia or even in the big city, you will start to see more birds, you will start to see animals, you will get glimpses of things that other people say, oh, that can't be possible. And you'll be the one that sees coyote on the sidewalk, and you'll be the one that sees the hawk swoop by your window. Because that vibration encourages relationship with those beings. So the simple act of allowing yourself to fill up with gratitude for everything that we're given every day, and then to be in dialogue with those beings. Sandra was just talking about wind, and we have storms here on the East Coast that can be pretty powerful, and I like to work with storms because they're very dynamic and they're exhilarating and terrifying all at the same time. And you can work with the sentience of the storm and thank it for stirring the atmosphere, first of all. Or if it's bringing rain, thank the storm for bringing us rain. If it's an electrical storm in the summertime, I like to negotiate with the storm about, first of all, thanking it for stirring the atmosphere again, and remind it that we are very small down here and you are very powerful. If at all possible, please discharge your lightning cloud to cloud instead of cloud to ground. And that has been a prayer of mine, again, with a heart full of gratitude. If you can do that, you know, we'd be very grateful because we are small and your lightning is very powerful. And prior to me doing that work, this neighborhood got at least 3 lightning strikes, bad ones. And the fact that I go to the storm, and I've taught other people to go to the storm and negotiate with the storm that is far bigger than us. It's necessary. We don't need to move it. We need to be in relationship with it. Thank it for what it does. And help it to know that we are very small beings, and if at all possible, use your energy in such a way that it does not harm either the trees or the people or the animals down here. And so being in that place of gratitude provides this foundation for all different kinds of relationships, recognizing that everything not only is alive, that you think of that intellectually, but you practice that they're alive and you begin to have this sense of reciprocity, that you are speaking to a being that has its own agenda, it has its own power, and you can have this interchange, learn about it, and maybe it also learns something about what it means to be a human being. Because in the face of the elementals, we're very, very small. And in that negotiating, that stepping into relationship, learning what it desires in terms of honoring, because every spirit wants a little something different. And again, from that place of gratitude, it's easy. It's like, what is it that you would like? It's like giving somebody that you care about the food they enjoy. Or play, you know, you discover a piece of music that you know somebody else would love and you want to share it. So it comes from that heart place of recognizing your family is really enormous.
I love the sort of the family, the everyday quality of that relationship is giving something they really like, and it's just it makes it very human, humanizing in a positive sense. Just to really have that sense of like, oh, real, they're real sentient entities that we can have a real relationship with. Well, Sandra, let's go back to you. Another thing we mentioned on the page today, I would love to get a little bit of your insight onto is that, you know, I think shamanic journeying has become known, very well known as a way to access the higher guidance. And love to just share a little bit about some other practices that help us to open a visionary awareness from a shamanic perspective.
Well, yes, working with the helping spirits is really wonderful. And as I shared earlier, instead of asking so much for the helping spirits of what they can do for us, working with them as true partners who have a different perception on what we're experiencing in our lives, and so they can share guidance with us. But then there's also so many different ways of working, of going inside of ourselves and, let's say, examining when you say a particular word and you do a journey and you go inside. And how does the word luminosity or radiance affect your liver? And how does the word hate affect your liver? And when you can start to realize that everything, every behavior, every act that you do in the world has an impact on your own body. And again, then we open up to the awareness of the larger family that we're connected to. As Evelyn just shared, our family is huge. And so we can start to do journeys to start to go within to examine how we can change some of our behavior. How can I be a different presence in the world? We don't need the helping spirits to share this information with us. What are some of my deeper wounds that I need to now repair the stories of so that I do start to become closer to that veil of walking into my divine light, taking walks in nature and noticing the omens that the elements and all that nature brings to us is a huge part of shamanism. It's one of the main parts of shamanism is to be able to go out into nature. And as you're saying, should I do a fire ceremony tonight to ask for prayers for peace on the planet? And a rainbow forms in the sky. That's a shamanic ceremony when we go out and we look for omens, and omens are given to us. And it is a part of shamanism when we sit in nature and gaze out over the mountains and into water, or stare into the fire, or just allow the breezes to caress us. That's the practice of deep listening in shamanism, where we allow the elements to inform us on so many different levels. And so there's so much more to working with helping spirits, because there's a whole realm of, again, sentient beings in the middle world who we want to bring into our family. They are already our family, but we've forgotten that. This is a time of awakening to our part of being the earth organism. And what does that all mean? So there's so many different shamanic practices of going out and being with nature, absorbing the omens, learning how to work with negative energies, not through a journey, but they're coming at you and you have the ability to transform them and use them for your own creativity. These are just really simple practices that go far beyond what we can do with shamanic journeying.
Well, it's amazing the whole panoply of possibilities that opens up. I love the way there's a restoration of our sense of family connection to the entire natural world and elements, and seeing through the eyes of different animals and their perceptual abilities, and discovering helping spirits. Shamanism really does open up a whole new world of possibilities. So that's part of why we're so excited that you two have teamed up for the first time in Shift to offer a brand new program on shamanic perception. So I want to spend some time now talking about that, so people who are inspired by what you're sharing really have a chance to go deep into the practice and make it real, to really open your eyes to this amazing world around us and be able to access all these different levels of relationship and intelligence and miraculous capacities for healing as well. Some of the stories you shared today were quite remarkable when you establish a relationship with the natural elements and rain, and 30 seconds of rain can come, or you get warned to not get on a plane. I mean, those are quite extraordinary when we realize just how much available wisdom there is that we can tap and be in dialogue with. So the program that Sandra and Evelyn are going to be teaching is called Cultivating Shamanic Perception, Practices for Living an Awake, Grounded, and Harmonious Life. And you can find it at shamanicperception.com, just as it sounds, shamanicperception.com. It's going to be a 7-week program that really lays a whole different foundation. It's going beyond just the shamanic journey into this more full spectrum shamanic lifestyle of like opening all the different levels of our connection, you know, going into a lot of different aspects of the practices, but also the deeper way of seeing the world that can open up. So there's aspects on healing, there's aspects on contacting and working with allies. There's many different facets of this program, and we're excited to have this brand new offering that's complementary to everything else that Sandra and other shamanic teachers have taught on Shift so far. So again, it's a 7-week program. You can find the details at shamanicperception.com. And Sandra, I'd love for you to share in your own words first, what are you most excited to be bringing forward with this new program?
Well, I'm actually excited not just about what you shared, Stephen, about our relationship with the outer world. I'm excited about helping people to really understand that everything in life is born out of our inner world. And that our inner world, we can fill it with so much beauty. And when we fill it with so much beauty through our words, our thoughts, our daydreams, our actions in the world, our prayers and our ceremonies, and we actually get so filled up with those kinds of energies, we stop looking to the outer world for anything, because that's what we need, and that's what we need to be a presence in the world. And so what I'm so excited about is not just teaching people about their relationships with nature, but bringing them back into everybody's relationship with yourself. Because when you get that filled up, then what all you experience is beauty and magic. And that moves you into a place of harmony where you can now bring all the goodness of life to you, and not only bring the goodness of life to you, but where you only see the goodness of life.
Evelyn, what are you most excited to bring forward?
Oh, to just have people experience themselves as the remarkable beings that they actually are. None of us get that lesson from life the way our culture is. We're told that we are fit in a little box somewhere, and we have certain skills that are good and certain things we're not good at, and you know, we have all these judgments. But inside every single being on this planet is this radiant, extraordinary, and brilliant light, a brilliant intelligence, not just intellect, but a deep soul intelligence that understands about your own, you understand about your inner beauty. That's what I want you to know, that you are this extraordinary being that is just starting to awaken to the possibilities that are there. And that you can begin to work from. Because to live in limitation is such a loss when you can live from this place of fullness where the waves of life, you know, we always have ups and downs in life. You want to be able to take those as if you're moving over them in a 1959 Cadillac, just that whoop, and you move to the next piece, instead of hitting those speed bumps like you were driving an old Jeep. So to have that wonderful sense of expansion and radiance and joyfulness, because this life is extraordinarily joyful and you deserve to experience it. You deserve to experience your own richness.
Wow. Well, I love the generosity of spirit and the way you're mirroring back everybody's beauty and depth to them. And I know they're in for a real blessing to go much deeper into that in the upcoming program. So I'll share, actually, before we go into some of the other details, I'd love for you to have a little tour of the modules. We don't have time to go into each one, but maybe, Sandra, if you could give us a bit of a overview of some of the modules, and we can have Evelyn do some as well.
Well, we're going to start with understanding our landscape first. I mean, how do we start to build a relationship with the world unless we understand our landscape? And the world tree is so important in shamanism of connecting the lower, the middle, and the upper worlds. And so we'll share stories about that and then take you into a journey to experience your own inner tree, those roots that are connecting you deep into the earth. How strong are they? How earthy are they? How have you been taking care of them? What is your trunk filled with? How are you reaching your branches to the sky? How do you protect yourself from unbeneficial energies? And how do we cultivate the energy needed to start to manifest our dreams? And looking at how so many people are stuck in seeing the suffering of the world, and how do we tap into not just our compassionate observer, but how do we work with the shamanic way of being able to transform all energy that we're experiencing as neutral energy? And looking at what are the roots of scarcity that stop us from being able to manifest what we're so passionate about? Where did this whole belief of scarcity come in? So in looking at how we can create and manifest more in the world, looking at the roots of scarcity besides learning all the lessons of creation and manifestation. And how do we work with our ancestors to dissolve and dismember some of the karmic patterns that we've brought into this lifetime with our own and the karma that we have from our connections with our ancestors? How did we dissolve the present, the past, present, and future erroneous beliefs that we have that are creating our limitation of what we're capable of? How do we start to walk to that place of experiencing our radiance and our divinity? And what can we do with that? What were the miracles that shamans did when they were truly in touch with their divine light? What were the miracles, and what are we missing in the pieces of the puzzle of our work that don't allow us to be able to oftentimes obtain the same results because we might not have done enough work before we jumped into our divinity to transform those dark states inside of ourselves? So these are some of the issues that I wanted to, some of the themes that we'll be talking about. Our sessions will be lectures, storytelling. There'll always be a shamanic journey. It might not be to helping spirits. It might be to your inner world. And there's always going to be some healing ceremony that we end each session with.
Mm. Well, thank you for that broad overview. I'll just read through a few of the module titles to get whet people's appetite. So there's the awakening and subconscious ways of being. There's feelings and light consciousness. There's the divine feminine, ancestral allies, imagining a new world. There's a lot of very practical skills in this about how to reshape the very way that we engage reality. So it's like we're creating in a different way. We're manifesting in a different way. We're connecting with different qualities in ourselves. So it's a very full spectrum approach to shamanic perception that you're offering here. Again, you can find all the details at shamanicperception.com. Again, that's shamanicperception.com. And there's a lot of extra bonuses that really enhance the value of this program. So you get not only the 90-minute class sessions with Sandra and Evelyn, and I should note that these are on video. So you have the intimacy, the connection, the rapport that comes from being able to see directly, and also some of the ritual and ceremonial elements become even richer and more alive with that. You get the live sessions and you get recordings, you get PDF transcripts. We also do audios, so if you want to listen to them in the car or elsewhere. And there's a number of extra bonuses as well. There's one called the Introduction to Shamanic Journey, one of the most venerated and important practices of shamanism that Sandra is offering. There's a series of guided journeys from Sandra and Evelyn together called Journeys to the Upper and Lower Worlds. And there's a particular teaching also from Evelyn called Becoming the New Human. So those are all extra bonuses, and there's one extra bonus which is available only today until midnight. We like to do this as a way to thank you for being here and to encourage you to go to the page at shamanicperception.com. Give it a read and tune in, and you might even do a little journey or access whatever kind of guidance you can. And if you're getting a yes to move forward, then you get an extra incentive to do so today. This is an interview with Sandra and Heather Ash Amara called Staying Centered in Times of Change. It's a video dialogue. It's all about holding and sharing your light with the world. So you can see more about that. Sandra, you want to share anything about that extra bonus that people get when they sign up today?
Well, it was a beautiful, beautiful time between Heather Ash Amara and I. Our presence really came together in an alchemical way, where we walk people through the practices that we really need to incorporate into our life to bring more health and harmony and balance to ourselves, to all of life in the world.
Beautiful. Well, that's a great extra incentive to sign up today at shamanicperception.com. Few other things. We've kept the investment really accessible. It's just three payments of $109, or you save about 10% when you pay in full, $297. So the course is going to begin on July 24th and run on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And even if you can't make the live time, you can still get the full value by participating with the downloads and in the community. So amazing teachings in this program. And I think the really beautiful chemistry between the two of you, it's great to have you teaching together. Evelyn, anything that's on your heart you want to still share about the upcoming program?
Well, I'm tickled to be working with Sandra because we do share so many of the same ideas from completely different perspectives. So I think it's going to be a delight to be able to weave those together for this program. So I'm excited to be here to present with you and for you that are listening and watching.
Great. Great. Well, Sandra, any final closing thoughts from you about folks who are considering joining you for this next step of the journey?
Well, I'm also excited about teaching with Evelyn. Evelyn has a great sense of humor, great storyteller, and I know that we're going to bring through really special practices that are actually going to put people who have been desiring to understand more about the path of the shaman, but have been going about it maybe in a backwards way, how all of us are going to come together and deepen our inner worlds in a way where we're going to be able to share through global community amazing changes in our own lives and how we're all perceiving the world from a different place and how we all are finally embracing our beauty and the destiny that we were all promised when we came into this world, which is really a life of joy.
A life of joy. That's really at the heart of it. So if you are called to a life of joy and want to deepen on a shamanic path out there, I highly encourage you taking this program. It's Sandra and Evelyn are terrific teachers, are really committed, and the community that forms is amazing on these programs, a really global community of people sincerely dedicated to personal transformation and collective service. So again, you can find all the details at shamanicperception.com. And if you get signed up by midnight tonight, you get the extra bonus with Sandra and Heather Ashimara. So thank you both for a really wonderful hour. And thank you all for joining us out there. Let's go forth and see the world with more sacred eyes, spread a deeper wisdom, access this kind of deeper intelligence all around us, and reconnect with our whole family of life, which we are all part of. So, and if you are called to go deeper on this path, we welcome you into cultivating shamanic perception at shamanicperception.com. So thanks all. Bye, Sandra. Bye, Evelyn.
Take care.